Steve, I'm happy to hear that the Dow is still above 42, right?
Mm-hmm.
The benchmark has been 40 for a long time. Now it's 42.
42 after setting a record high yesterday. S&P hit a record high yesterday as well. And all of this, despite, John, I don't know if this is where you're going with this, but there are some reasons that maybe they shouldn't be doing so well. Consumer confidence came in, suffered its biggest one-month decline in more than 3 years this morning. 98.7 is the number they use on the scale of 100. The economists had expected that number to come in at 104. And then there's Jamie Dimon, former Chicago restaurant resident, used to live over there on Astor Street, and he's the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, and he says the geopolitical instability is getting worse instead of better, and says it is his biggest caution as he looks at what's going on with the economy. He said the worrisome backdrop of what's going on in Ukraine, in Israel, Gaza, and now Lebanon too, could influence the state of the economy moving forward. He says he likes to think of himself as a long-term optimist, but he's skeptical of the Wall Street markets pricing things the way they are right now at these record highs.
Seems to me like, do I remember incorrectly that even before Lebanon got hot, he was bearish anyway? He thinks that the market is overvalued right now.
Yeah, right. And in fact, it was a year ago that he first brought up the geopolitical issues. He said that they were the biggest risk for the economy, and he's doubling down on that now, with obviously some very good reason to do that.
You also mentioned the Kmart. I didn't know there was even one Kmart left open. Is there a Blockbuster Video that's going to close sometime soon, too?
Didn't we hear a while back that there is still a Blockbuster store someplace?
That does ring a bell now that I mention it. But one Kmart left.
Yeah, on Long Island, and that one's being a little closed next month. And then there's still a small format store of Kmart in Miami. And one on Guam and U.S. Virgin Islands. But that was the kind of the first of the big box stores, wasn't it?
Somebody's got to tell me the story of why. Because Kmart felt like Sam's Club or Walmart or Costco do now, right? It was not the greatest merchandise, but the best prices. Attention, Kmart shoppers. There's a blue light special in aisle six, and folks would flock to save money at Kmart.
Yeah, I think the comparison is better to Walmart than it would be to Sam's Club or Costco.
Yeah.
And Walmart is probably the reason Kmart no longer exists. It just did a better job of merchandising. Kmart was purchased by Sears some years back, and that's when things started to go south for them.
I wonder if the last store in
Chicago was in Avondale. 2018. That was the last time we had a Chicago Kmart.
A lot of times now in urban areas or suburban areas, you'll see kind of a massive parking lot with a shuttered building, and that's the Kmart land that's just sitting there waiting for another tenant or a developer, right?
Yeah, for something, yeah.
I wonder then if since Penny's and Sears and Kmart and Montgomery Ward's, I wonder if the same fate that befell them will befall Costco, Sam's Club, Walmart, those sorts of places.
No, you would think so, though. You know, looking at the way the cycles go over the years, something, you know, some new brand comes along or a new way of merchandising comes along, and what we grew up with is no longer there.
Pete just handed me this, the last Blockbuster in the United States, the last remaining Blockbuster store in the U.S. is in Bend, Oregon. The store is a popular tourist attraction that offers a trip back in time to the early 2000s.
Darn, I wish I should have held onto that card.
Well, if you show up, they probably are going to hit you up for a very big late fee because you didn't rewind. You weren't kind. You didn't rewind.
Oh, yeah.
And you've still got that Godfather Part 3 laying around your house, and they want it back. Philip Weiss, the president of Cyfarth at Work, joining us once again on a topic that we brought up earlier on the show, and that is politics on the lawn. You're talking a little bit, Philip, about politics at the office. Is that right?
That's right. It's sort of a twist on the topic, and it really relates, John, to the fact that this very fraught and divisive election season that we're in the midst of, is obviously going to coincide now with the early holiday shopping season. And a lot of our clients, companies that are retailers or dealing with customers, are already working with and prepping their employees, John, not just so they can handle the influx of holiday shoppers, but so they can be ready to respond when customers themselves start bringing up politics, disparaging presidential candidates and the like. And they are reporting this is an issue, and they realize their staff has got to be ready and able to respond and in some cases even diffuse.
How would that come up? What would that interaction be like? Because I presume we're talking about more than wearing a T-shirt or a hat. What are you talking about where the customers and the staff interact?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And you're bringing up attire is a superb kind of a counter contrast, because clearly if you've got employee roles for your own staff, it's going to include what they can and cannot wear in some cases. Customers, different. You're not going to tell a customer to take off a T-shirt unless it's got a sort of hate symbol on it. But it's hard. It's interesting and more touchy when the customer and the staff member get into a conversation. And many customers like to wax philosophical, like to share their views, like to feel connected to staff when they're shopping for clothes, getting recommendations on items they're going to purchase. So that conversation, more often than not, more often than you would expect, can veer into the political. And people have got this election so top of mind that it's a natural go-to for many people, even when they're talking to someone they met in the store. So what staff are finding, John, is they're going to have a customer who starts bringing up one or the other presidential candidates and asking the staff member, well, hey, what do you think about this person? Aren't they a blank blank? And then the question is, what does the staff member say? And what we found, John, is most effective is to pre-arm your employees, prep them with what we would call deft deflect statements, meaning you don't want to engage because that's not going to end well for anybody. You want to make sure that you can redirect the customer conversation to something far safer, which is usually going to be your products, your services. It's really interesting because it's going to be partly defined or guided by what your business is, what it does, what your products include. So, for example, there's a wine and cheese company that has retail operations, and when the customers get a little vitriolic, a little strident in their comments, their staff is already trained to say, well, you know what, thanks for sharing. One thing we all can agree on, it's great that Merlot is on super sale down the aisle. And you'd be surprised how customers just realize, look it, that's probably the right way, the right conversation, the right segue, and they don't push the issue. And it's remarkable because people are so caught up in the intent of sharing their political views. If we can deflect a little bit, we're going to see an immediate diffusion and a real calming of the conversation. One of our clothing clients will respond by saying, hey, I get it, crazy times we live in. Have you seen that crazy cool selection of jeans in the back? So there's many ways to play this, John, but they've got that common theme, deflect and take it back to your products and services.
Well, that's so obvious, but maybe that would be funny too, because rather than saying, I'm not going to talk to you about that, just don't talk about that, and they'll get the message. But even if you happen to agree, say that the customer says, I feel X, Y, and Z about candidate X. If the employee they're working with agrees with them, the suggestion is to not acknowledge even that, huh?
Right, because the politics doesn't really belong on the sales floor. You got other customers that could be listening in, and they may not take your joint opinion kindly. In fact, we've got many situations, John, where not only is it important to deftly deflect, but you want to make sure your other staff members can come in and offer a helping hand. So if the customer is intent on continuing, because that can't happen on occasion, you want to help them by having other staff members ready to extract the person. We've even got clients, John, where they'll provide an equivalent of a coded message where the person who feels cornered by the customer can call someone over and say, hey, can you bring me some of those custom items for the sale area? And that's the code that says, get me out of here. Tell me I'm needed in the back.
Yeah. Philip Weiss is the president of SciFarth at Work. Always interesting and helpful. Thank you, Philip.
Thanks, John. Have a great day.
SciFarth at Work is spelled SciFarth. SciFarth at Work.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago-based Hyatt Hotels is expanding its global footprint. The company has announced more than 20 new properties in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, Latin America, and the Caribbean. The new locations will expand Hyatt's brand in several new regional markets, including Peru, Costa Rica, and Dominican Republic. Since 2017, Hyatt has doubled the number of luxury rooms in its global inventory. The hotel chain says these new locations underscore Hyatt's position as a premier hotel brand for high-end travelers. The other new locations are in California, Arizona, Utah, and Florida. The president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago says more interest rate cuts are on the way. Austin Goolsbee says the Fed will cut rates at its two remaining meetings of the year in November and December, but did not specify whether he expects a quarter point or half point cuts. Goolsbee says interest rates need to be lowered significantly to protect the labor market and support the economy. He suggested even more rate cuts next year. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Once again, I have broken into the Bob Surratt record vault, and I dusted off this one. Oh, that's an oldie. If you think you know the name of the song and the group and the year, stick around and I'll let you know if you're right. But first, a big thanks to the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. This Sunday, is a big day in McHenry County. It's the annual Farm Stroll.
Farm Stroll is a gathering of 11 farms, including us here at the college.
That's Rich Tobias, who's on the faculty at McHenry County College, and he works with master gardeners around the county. It is the 9th annual Farm Stroll.
And it's an opportunity for people to come out and walk through working farms. And we have a dairy, we have a flower farm, several vegetable farms, an orchard, we have an alpaca farm. That alpaca one sounds pretty interesting because she's going to have a lot of fiber and a lot of things about the alpacas, and she has a llama that guards the alpacas.
Really?
That's correct. The llama that I had for my sheep, when the coyotes would walk past, this llama would go stand at the corner and stomp and spit, and the coyotes never bothered my animals. So they're good guard animals.
Okay, the Farm Stroll in McHenry County, it's Sunday.
Between 10 and 4 on September 29th.
The price is right.
There is no cost to this at all. It's a free event. You want to bring some cash in a cooler, there'll be a lot of things for sale at many of the farms along the way, including some frozen meat and vegetables and fruit. They're picking pumpkins out here, so there'll be all kinds of things for people to take back home.
There's more info online. Just Google McHenry County Farm Stroll. Okay. If I haven't already given it away, this is The Stroll from way back there, 1958, by the Diamonds. On the food calendar, it's National Cherries Jubilee Day. I'm Steve Alexander, and that's the Business of Food on 720 WGN. Come, let's go.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, kind of an abbreviated version of it today with all of the warnings. But Harold Redman has been patiently standing by, the president and CEO at Echo in Lake Zurich. Hi, Harold. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine, John. Thanks for having Echo on the show today.
I did a sprint through. It wasn't a sprint. Well, it was a long sprint. I toured your facility there in Lake Zurich, and that really is an impressive place.
Thanks. It's over 700,000 square feet of manufacturing and distribution and employs about 1,000 people here in the Lake Zurich area.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that impressed me, and it's not why I called you today, but just let me finish this thought, was how efficient it is. There's not a lot of waste there. The employees and the processes you have in place really do seem to maximize output and profitability. And I don't normally tour facilities, but I got a real education in how to run a manufacturing facility when I toured Echo.
I appreciate that thought, John. One of our real competencies is injection molding, and of course that's the opportunity for us to also become environmentally responsible in terms of the molded plastic parts that we make and that are used you know, mostly on many of our pieces of handheld equipment. So you're right. It's a well-organized plant. It flows very well. It's very, very efficient. It certainly takes a good workforce and a good management crew to focus on making it efficient, but we're doing pretty well at the moment.
They recapture, like if they make a cut on a piece of plastic, there's some debris, some dust that comes off. They recapture that and use it yet again. So it's that sort of attention to detail that must make a difference. In fact, you all do have a Green Business Award from the village there, right?
Yes, last Thursday we did receive a Green Award from Mayor Poynton of the village of Lake Zurich, and of course, lots of businesses applied for that award, and they found us environmentally responsible and awarded us that opportunity with the regrind of the plastic scrap that we process, with installation of the solar panels in 2022 that provide us 38% of the power needed to power this plant. So we take on some big projects, but even the smaller environmental projects make a difference as well.
You all launched 10 new products while I was on vacation. I wanted to be there for that. You couldn't delay the launch for me until I got back, huh?
Well, John, we'd be glad to give you a personal showing. Some of those products probably ought to make it to your garage for use around your home.
Well, but is your stuff residential or is it professional grade?
We make both. Actually, the homeowner products are more premium, but most of our products are made for the commercial landscaper, so they're made to be used several hours per day.
And the battery power that you have these days, we were just talking about this the other day, not because we were talking about Echo, but about the advancements in battery technology. Is that something that's working its way into your products too?
It really is. Actually, 8 of the 10 new products this year, John, are battery-powered products, along with the 2 gas products. And many of those battery products are commercially engineered, and they're finding their way into commercial landscapers that either prefer to use electric battery power versus gas, or in some areas, regulation doesn't permit the use of gas for either the gas itself or sound anymore. So we have now a full portfolio of 56-volt battery products to go along with our gas portfolio, all of which use a lot of the same components except for the power source. And we've been growing that business alongside our gas business the last few years.
Now, I saw of the 10, 4 of them are blowers. And how long will one of those things operate on a charge?
It's dependent on whether or not the blower is used at full throttle, but easily up to 90 minutes on most of them, depending on how the customer uses it and the size of the battery that's provided with the product.
Yeah.
So there's more than enough power and time there usually in our battery products to satisfy customer or commercial needs.
When we announced Camp Arimony, you all donated a bunch of lawn tools for the cleanup weekend that we had at Camp Arimony, a camp for kids in Chicago that is in central Illinois. And I was using one of your products, and there's a button on the blower. Help me if I'm remembering this right. And you hit it, and it's like a boost. It gives it a real whoosh sometimes, which you need. Am I making any sense there?
Perfect sense, John. We call that a turbo button. So when you need extra power from the unit, you hit that turbo button, and it then obviously pulls more power from the motor and creates more air force for that blower to work and move more things.
It really works, too. It's almost fun to use that tool. I feel the same way about string trimmers. I love whipping around the edges of my yard and garden. You guys got a new one of those. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's a new battery-powered string trimmer, and it's targeted right at the high-end consumer commercial market. And this trimmer, John, actually has a carbon fiber shaft. So if the trimmers are used a long time, they tend to get heavy. So we work from the engineering side on really good balance and making sure we're taking as much weight out of that product as possible so that it relieves the operator from holding a heavier product for a long period of time.
You have a field charger too. What is that?
That's a 6-port field charger, so it'll charge 656-volt batteries, and it's made to be more mobile. It needs to be plugged in, but it can keep the batteries charged while commercial landscape crews are out working on their jobs, and it keeps them in battery power all day just in case the battery they're using on the piece of equipment runs out of power. They've got an alternative there. So charging, mobile charging is gaining importance in the commercial landscape segment as these crews start to invest in battery electric products alongside the gas products.
A couple more minutes left with Harold Redman. He's the president and CEO of Echo Incorporated, the Echo lawn care products that you or your landscaper use in Lake Zurich. How many people did you say you all employ out there?
It's about 1,000, John.
Really is an impressive business. How is business going for you all?
We've actually had a good year. We started out of the gate with some new commercial products shipping to our customers. Of course, we've had pretty good weather. It's been plenty of rain up until at least the month of September, so good weather always helps this type of business since it's seasonal. So we're having a good year overall and feel good about where we are with new product launches and the overall business that we have with thousands of Echo dealers and also our partner, the Home Depot.
Yeah, right. So if I did want to buy your products, I mean, you keep talking about how professional grade these are, but I can get them at Home Depot, right?
You can. They carry a large selection of both premium homeowner and commercial products that many commercial landscapers go there to buy along with oil or saw chain or other accessories that they need for the completing their job. So, yes, they're available.
One last thing. Do you use a plug-in like electrical corded ones or is it all battery powered? And do you still what's happening with the gas powered engines as well?
All of our 56-volt products use a separate battery, so there are no corded products that we offer anymore. And all of our battery sizes fit all of our products. So you could buy three or four different type products, a trimmer, a blower, a chainsaw, and the same battery would fit that product and make that product work. So it's very convenient for the customer.
So exactly the opposite of my iPhones, then, is what you're saying.
That's a good comparison, John.
It's a terrible comparison.
And then on the gas side, we're doing well with our gas products. We're still focused on technology to sustain longevity of gas-powered products, and that business is going very well, and lots of our customers still prefer gas products just for the fact that a combustion engine is the most powerful source of value going into that piece of equipment
right.
That they can buy. And they work well, and they've been perfected over decades of engineering.
Well, continued success, Harold, to you and your team. I've met some of those folks, and we were just so appreciative of their participation in helping Camp Aramone get all spiffed up for the kids in Chicago to go to camp this summer. And keep up the good work. It's good to hear that business is good.
Thanks, John. We appreciate that. And, you know, one last plug. We are partners with the Susan G. Komen organization to obviously support breast cancer research and education. So one of our new products was a pink limited edition battery-powered blower this year that consumers can also buy at dealers and Home Depot. And a portion of those proceeds go to the Susan G. Komen organization to support that research.
Good to know. Harold Redman, the president and CEO over at Echo, echo-usa.com, the website, and at retail points around Chicagoland. Nice to talk to you, Harold. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John, for having us.